Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Gemma, and with me this week, I have another star-studded lineup of Pure Nintendo team members. Let's welcome them again. I have Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
Hey, glad to be here, and also anxious to be done, though, because the sooner we're done, the sooner I get back to playing.
Exactly. Let's speed things along, shall we? Kirk. Hi, Kirk.
Hello. I can't get back to playing right away. My son's on it, and there's dinner, but into the night, well into the night.
Yes. And Justin, thank you for returning again this week. Justin, how are you?
Yeah, no, doing well. Yeah, excited about talking about Zelda.
Yeah, so that's it. This week, Tears of the Kingdom is officially out in the wild. And I love saying that. It sounds like a pun. I don't know if it is, but it's out in the wild. We've all got the game, obviously. We are recording Friday night US time, so we've had not a whole lot of time with the game, but we've enough to talk about it, and we are super excited to go through our experiences so far. So before we begin, let's just analyze where we're at in the game. I'll just start since I'm the one talking already. I'm around 5.5 hours into it, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go with you,
Trev. Well, you got it earlier, though, right?
I did.
You're like a day ahead of us.
I said Friday, but it's actually Saturday here because I'm in the future. I'm in Australia.
So. Yeah, she's in the future. From the future, everybody.
Yeah, I am cheating a little bit because I have had Friday night already, and I did spend a few hours on Friday night, whereas you guys will do that shortly after the show. So, Trev, how are you progressing so far? Did it arrive in time?
Well, I did get it today, but and I did reschedule a few things, but by the time, you know, the day's necessities got done, I really didn't have a lot of time with it. Plus, I wanted to wait for Jen so we could play it together. So I might be, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes. I'm like, I just did the first shrine. So give you an idea of how little I've seen thus far. But
yeah, okay, cool. Kirk, how would you go today?
I'm done. Speed
You're
run.
Done.
I'm finished. I found a Mario style warp pipe that took me right to the end, and that was it. Now I'm about 3.5 hours into it. Okay. I've got two of the shrines done. I'm well on my way to the third. And back to learning how to keep myself warm in the snow.
Yeah. Yes, I've been through that. Trev,
well, there's snow.
Probably hasn't.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes you cold.
Spoilers all over the place.
Yeah. And Justin, how far into it are you currently?
Yeah. So I just got a little bit of a chance to play at lunch today. So I got maybe 30, 45 minutes. So yeah. I didn't even get the first shrine, I guess.
Okay. Well, we'll try not to spoil it for you guys as well.
So yeah, it's very, yeah, very early.
Very, very
Justin
early.
And I should do our own podcast for the first half hour.
We should just maybe do shrine by shrine, maybe. That'd be cool. So with that in mind, I guess this just, you know, spoiler alert for listeners, we are going to talk about the first up to 5 hours, I guess we could say. Probably not even that, but we'll keep it minimal in terms of spoilers. We haven't finished the game, obviously. It's very fresh. It's very new. So feel free to listen along, and we'll talk about our impressions and, you know, what we liked and other things to date so far, with more to come, obviously. So since it's a fresh game that's just launched and we've been hyping it for what seems like, well, probably has been years, but certainly in the last 6 months. And I can't remember a game being hyped this much of recent times. Have you guys had that impression? It just feels like huge. Like everyone's talking about it. It's just massive. Do you have that same feeling?
Yeah, I wouldn't have necessarily said it was that hyped even like just a few weeks ago, but like I think it's definitely reached like a fever pitch this week.
Yeah.
And in the last, you know, I think like once the reviews were dropping yesterday and, you know, I think it's, now everybody's like, it's here, you know, like I feel like everybody, it's now, there's that release of just, we can be excited, we can be hyped, it seems like it's good, people are playing it, yep, it's good, you know, like it's just, but yeah, I felt like their marketing cycle seemed a bit more subdued, but again, I think it has helped maybe keep expectations in check, but now, yeah, it seems like hype is is hitting full steam now.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully it does well, as we talked about last week. But let's talk about how we got the game. So I know Trev had it ordered and it arrived today, so we'll get to you in a sec. But I know, Justin, I think you were at some sort of midnight launch or something. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so I did a midnight launch at a GameStop near us, and was one of the reasons for that was I was like, you know, if there's a possibility at a collector's edition, I saw there was like a tweet a couple weeks ago where someone was like, hey, GameStop may have like a large new shipment of the Zelda collector's editions that they'll have for in-store only, like basically. You know, like they're not putting them online, so it's not going to go just to bots and things. They're going to have it just available for the launch. And, you know, they said each store is going to get like a minimum of four copies or, you know, something like that. So I was like, ooh, that's kind of interesting. So so Katie and I went to that. One of my nephews, he came up and joined us, and my brother-in-law. So it was a good crew there.
Cool.
Just from us. And then there was probably over 100 people there too. There was,
wow.
It was a fairly big launch. But it was amazing. Like I talked with, I don't know, several fans there, just, and you can just like pick up a conversation, but like, there's so many like-minded people in there. It was like someone just came up to me like, hey, what was your first Zelda game? You know, and you're just striking up a conversation
and having, I love that.
So it was really fun. You know, you feel that kind of camaraderie of like, yeah, Zelda fans, and some people were dressed up as Zelda and Link and all of that. So it was pretty.
Oh, wow. Did you get any photos?
I did take a couple photos. So yeah, I'm always the worst with taking pictures, like in the moment. I should have taken more, but they did have some little photo opportunities. They had like a big poster of Tears of the Kingdom that you could take a picture in front of. They were given out. They had these little arm sleeves that made your arm look like Link's, you know, augmented arm, you know, like.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so they gave out some of those. They had this like little Zelda scarf thing they were giving out. They had this like wood burning reward thing that looked basically had like the Ultra Hand symbol burnt into it. And
wow.
Anyways, just little, you know, kind of launch trinkets and things, but anyways, it was just really fun. We were only basically they do something where they pre-ring you up, so you basically got to prepay, like you prepaid for it, and then at 11 p.m. once the clock struck 11, they were like, all right, you can come through line, and they basically just marked off your receipt, gave you the copy, and you went out. So like those 100 people probably got through there in like, I don't know, 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. It was,
wow, that's good.
It was very speedy. But anyways, it was a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. That's really cool. Oh, makes me wish I had have gone to one of those. I assume there would have been one around somewhere. But yeah, that's yeah, I haven't been to one since probably the Switch launch, I think, was the last midnight launch I went to.
Yeah. Yeah. That was same for me.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was up at midnight, so I feel kind of bad in a sense because, you know, Zelda is one of the big games for me. It's like Mario and Zelda all the way. And I own physical copies of every Zelda game, and I didn't do it with this one. I downloaded it on the eShop, which just felt a little unsatisfying because, like, it's just I don't have a cool case. I don't have anything to look at. I don't know. I feel a bit sad about that. But on the plus side, I did download it in advance. So I downloaded it on Thursday during the day, and it, you know, it was like 16 gig or something. So it took its time, and I was just working away while it downloaded in the background. It didn't work, of course. You know, I tried it just in case, and I kept trying it. I kept trying it intermittently until midnight. So got to like 10:30, 11, 11:30, 11:45. 10 to 12, I'm like, maybe they'll release it early, even a few minutes early. No, even at the stroke of midnight, it actually didn't work. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's US time, maybe it's not Australian time. But then I was, you know, getting ready for bed because it was midnight, and then I thought, I'll just give it one more go, and it was like 5 past, and it worked. So yay. So I did spend about maybe half an hour with it Thursday night. Well, technically Friday morning. And then, so that was my midnight launch. So, Not as exciting as yours, but it's instant. I guess it's instant gratification in a sense. Is it instant when you've been trying for 12 hours to play it?
It's like instant gratification, but later.
Delayed instant gratification. Yeah.
Thank you, Kirk. Yes, that's it. And then I worked on Friday, but I had, as I said, I had Friday night to sort of spend a bit of time with it. So I did. I was worried Kirk would have more time than I did. So I really wanted to hit that 5 hour mark. I thought that was our goal, Kirk. So
way to bring us into the loop.
Oh yeah, if you can get through 5 hours before the podcast, that would be great. Yeah.
My intention was to be at Best Buy at 10 a.m. when they opened to get it, but you know, in the morning I get a grocery list, and then there, I thought, well, I got to mow today, and there's a Home Depot right there, so I'm going to get some oil, and I'm going to get a new air filter, and then everybody in the store and on my way home is my mortal enemy. Every traffic light is an enemy. Every person who gets in front of me in any way is my enemy. Like, I just want to go play the game. So I started it maybe around 11:15, I think, after all that. I was ready to go. And started, but then even though I had the day off, my boss did schedule a conference call with one of our clients, so I hopped on that for about an hour and 15 minutes, and then
Do you know it was Tears of the Kingdom Day?
Oddly enough, not a gamer, my boss, so not a lot of sympathy there, but he did let me have the rest of the day off. I mean, there was no complaints about that, and the moment it was done, he kept everyone else on, and I was allowed to go, so. Good guy.
Nice.
And yeah, I played through it till I could, till Sam got home. He watched me a little bit, and then he took over.
Yeah, well, he's got the schedule, right? So you just point at the schedule and go, Dad, you know, it's time. Yeah.
I think he gave me an extra half hour, I believe. The plan was 4, and I said, no, I got to be on till at least 4:30. I got to call it.
Nice. That's pretty good. And Trev, yours arrived from, was it Best Buy? You had pre-ordered?
No, it was Walmart.
Walmart. Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking around for pre-order bonuses, and Walmart had the wall scrolls, which I thought was pretty cool. And I actually like those better than posters, but, it was a risk because last time, it was Skyward Sword. I pre-ordered that, I think, from Target, and it didn't arrive till like 7:30 that night.
Oh, wow.
At least this one arrived early. Of course, as I said, I was, doing a little bit of work and this and that. But, I had my wife look it up. I'm like, do you remember? Is it shipping to the house? Is it going to the P.O. box? Is it going to my mom's? Like, I can't remember which address I put. Because not everyone ships to a P.O. box, which is a pain. And then I'm like, oh, where do I want it? But. Yeah, it arrived, and a big old envelope for small switch case. And of course the scroll was rolled up, but I already got it hanging on the wall.
Nice. It
looks nice. Very and cool. It's really easy to move around too. You really just need like a thumbtack. So
cool.
Probably just put it around various rooms of the house, see where it looks best.
Yeah. I would like to see a picture of that at some point. I got the Pro Controller, which arrived from Amazon during the day. So it was ready to play Friday night for me. So that was cool. So yeah, I've had some, I did some docked mode and some handheld mode. I've had a bit of both. I was even playing just a tiny bit before the show. So my goal was to get to the Temple of Time. Again, slight spoiler alert here, but let's talk a little bit about the game itself now. Going back to the very, very beginning, what do we think of the introduction? Cause I thought it was pretty good, like very movie-like quality in terms of where we're at now. So in the game, we open up with Link and Zelda chatting amongst themselves as they're descending under the castle of Hyrule. What did we think of this introduction? You know, Link has like full health, like a million hearts. and he's got the Master Sword, we've been talking about his arm. Obviously that's part of the game's mechanics. In the trailer, we've seen his arm gets attacked, and that happens very early on, like during this kind of prologue scene, and then he wakes up on a sky island. So I think it's about 20 minutes worth of preamble, I would say, and then suddenly you're on a Sky Island with no shirt and no sword, or a very damaged sword, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And I hate seeing the Master Sword in my little collection that's, what's it called? Is it decayed or damaged? I can't remember what the term is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can't drop it. I looked at that, because you know how you pick up tree branches and long sticks and rusty broadswords and things, and then you're like, you run out of room. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to drop the Master Sword because I probably will need it at some point, but I wonder if I can. You can't. Uh-huh. So yeah. So what did maybe Justin, you want to start with you? What did you think about the opening scene and kind of exposition that we received during that scene?
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised. It was a bit more playable than I was expecting. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. You remember that very first trailer they showed had Link and Zelda kind of walking through the depths. There was that kind of like ox looking thing they're kind of leading along. Like it's kind of meanders down, and then they eventually get to that room with Ganondorf. And so I was kind of expecting it would be like a cutscene the whole way, but like when it pretty quickly transitions to you, like, oh, can I control myself? Oh, okay, I'm going to follow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then you're kind of like walking alongside Zelda as, mm-hmm. you know, there's various observations being made of the architecture and what's going on, you know. So that was kind of interesting. But yeah, when it got to that, when it finally got to the full, you know, cutscene, you see Ganondorf and all of that, it's pretty foreboding. Like it definitely kind of matches the tone of that original trailer we saw, right? Like you just see, it just looks very macabre and, but really well done. I thought the voice acting for Ganondorf was pretty well done there. I'm kind of curious to see how his voice will evolve when maybe he's fully hydrated, as they say, right? Like fully, not his mummy self or whatever. Yeah. But because it did, like his voice sounded strained, right? Mm-hmm. Like it sounded, different. So I don't know. We'll see if that changes at all. But yeah, it was really wild seeing the Master Sword so quickly dispatched. You know, mm-hmm. like. Obviously, Link has that little grazed blow against Ganondorf, but yeah. Anyways, it definitely like you get this sense of like, oh man, what are we like? How are we gonna beat him? You know, like he literally lifts up the castle and all of this, and then we're like, you know, up in the sky. Anyways,
but
it was a very very cool intro. Definitely sets the tone and the setting and. Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, I love some of the words you used, foreboding, macabre. Yeah, it was really well done. And I loved Zelda's, her voice, but just her interactions with Link. And she was very excited about what she found under there, you know, architecturally and some hieroglyphic type of stuff. Before they obviously stumbled upon the semi-mummified remains of Ganondorf. Trev and Kirk, did you have anything to add to that in terms of that intro scene?
Yeah, well, of course, you know, I downloaded whatever the update was, and so thankfully that was only a minute or whatever, but and then I clicked to play and it's like, oh, to save you have to archive something, and I'm like, ah. So I'm shuffling, you know, all these games onto, you know, off of my SD card or whatever. Mm-hmm. My first thought, you know, it's just you see this little white text, like The Legend of Zelda, against this black screen. And then it's like Tears of the Kingdom against this black screen. And I'm like, this isn't a very glamorous intro screen. But by the same token, Zelda's so big. I mean, they don't need to be, because it was just setting up for the ultimate introduction, you know, when he's jumps off and the logo pops up. But I was trying to figure out, because at first I'm like, oh, is this like right after the last game? Because Link's fully powered up. And then I'm like, no, it can't be, because Zelda's got a haircut. And so I found myself trying to place where it might be. And yeah, to your point, I kind of liked that Zelda showed a little excitement, because I feel like, you know, her vocal range is always on the brink of, I'm about to burst into tears.
Yes.
Like it's kind of has that kind of quivering quality, but So I was happy to see her show a little bit of range, and I'm hoping the story, even though it looks really dark, I'm hoping the story sets up some moments like that. Presuming we catch up with Zelda, because, you know, she fell. So
spoiler. Yeah, it was straight out of the trailer, that part where she's falling out, reaching out for Link, and he reaches towards her and misses. I mean, it was pretty epic, I thought. I you know, it's a really good point that you mentioned, the text at the very beginning was so subtle and just light on, in terms of there's no flamboyance or, you know, anything fancy or flashy about it. And then, of course, it is a prologue, so that it leads to the moment where Link is in the air, and it's you know, the big splashy logo and everything, which is cool. Kirk, anything to add to that?
There were a couple moments I thought were great. I'm going to echo what you guys have said about Zelda. The scenes where she was checking out the runes on the wall and was like practically bouncing from each one with the excitement she had, is like, oh, this is just like I learned in school. Which is strange, because if they're runes on a hidden cave wall, what's the significance of being so excited about something you already learned? But I'm sure we'll
yeah.
But yeah, I like the excitement. I like the way that whole thing was animated. In fact, it felt very anime to me, the way they illustrated that. But my favorite, I had two favorite moments, and they were both with very close to each other. When Ganondorf wakes up, and it's an anticlimactic sort of, he's up and then he's right back down, and you're like, okay, well, that was nothing. But then that, are we giving away this many spoilers? Is this good? I guess I'm just describing a scene.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But when his head kind of cocks over to the side and those eyes light up at that angle was very cool. And then the moment when the red goop kind of cloudy stuff comes out and hits Link in the sword, and all those hearts just start going away. And you're watching it bounce back down to 3. I'm like, no.
Oh.
I worked so hard in Breath of the Wild to get those hearts up, and you just took them all away just like that.
Yeah.
I love that moment. And I guess the final one would be, as you mentioned, like when we get to the actual title at the end of the prologue. But it was kind of funny to me where he's standing up on that ledge looking down at the islands, and then like the only thing you could do is jump, so you do. And then we hit it, but the excitement, I guess, of that first jump, knowing that the sky is going to be such a huge part of this game, I thought was kind of thrilling for a little moment right there right before the big title splash.
Yeah
absolutely. I even got goosebumps with you describing it just then, so there you go. And I played it, so
It sort of felt like that initial vista that you see coming out of the resurrection chamber or whatever, wherever Link was sleeping in Breath of the Wild, right? Like, and it kind of, and like you said, Trev, the text was very basic right at the beginning, but I'm pretty sure Breath of the Wild was that exact same way. It was just like that. It was the little white text that just said Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Oh, you know what? You might be right.
It was just that very simplistic. And then, you know, you wake up, you kind of, you know, you get your shirt, your pants, and then you walk out, and then you go to that vista and you see all of Hyrule. And I think the logo comes up then. But anyways, so it's kind of a similar, like, very subdued intro, you know, Nintendo presents, you know, Nintendo's been doing some things like that. I feel like Metroid Dread started that way, where it's like, it's Metroid 5, you know, and it's just like simple white font, and you know, and then it goes into the game. But
so, you know, cool. Speaking of Metroid, it reminded me when Kirk was talking about Link losing the hearts, very much like Samus, because you know, Samus can't have her abilities, so how are we gonna get rid of them? And of course, Link can't do the adventure fully powered up, so how are we gonna get rid of them?
It was very much a Metroid moment.
Yeah, very much so. And it's, you know, it's almost like, I guess, like you're saying with Breath of the Wild, at the start, you wake up, it's kind of unknown what's happening. You know, you're sort of new to the world. We know what's happening in this world, but again, it's, we don't know what's happened now. So something, some sort of cataclysmic event has occurred, and now we're in the Sky Island, and I have no idea what's going on down on the surface of Hyrule right now. I'm still after 5, excuse me, after 5.5 hours. So
you're so excited.
I am. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So yeah, 5.5 hours in, and I still don't know what's happening down on Hyrule. I have no idea. I'm still in the Sky Islands. Again, slight spoiler alert here for the first portion of the game, but there are, you initially meet, let's talk about who we meet. So we meet a new kind of guide, do we want to call him? And I don't know if I want to pronounce his name because I don't know how to say it. Rora?
Rauru.
Rauru?
Yeah, Rauru.
It's like Scooby-Doo, like Rauru.
Okay, so we can't say it. But anyway, we meet this guy. and he's some sort of is he a ghost or a spirit? He's faded out. He's no longer physically present. And he's the one who's given us, I suppose, lent us his arm somehow. And he sort of guides us through the Sky Islands. And my impression of the Sky Islands is I am surprised how big it is. It's mm-hmm. huge. Like, initially, I didn't think it was. And, you know, first of all, you're led to, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here because it was late and it's been 5.5 hours. Do you go straight to the Temple of Time first? I think you do, right? And then you're told you can't get in. Yeah,
you can't get in.
Yep. So you find this Temple of Time, you try to get access, it's denied. You have to go and find 3 shrines. Okay, so we're off on an adventure to find 3 shrines. The first one is pretty close and pretty easy to access. And I know a couple of us have at least found the first one. I know, Kirk, you said you're on your way to the third, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. The third one took me ages to find. Like, I was walking around everywhere. Like,
to find or thing? To get to it?
Both.
Okay.
Like, where is it?
The third one I actually found first.
Did you?
Was it? Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing them and you don't have to do them in the right order, possibly? I'm
not sure. I mean, did the Yukao Shrine first, which gives you the Ultra Hand. I think you have to do that one first, right? Because he kind of tells you where that is. Then I did the Gutenbach one, which is where you get Ascend.
I do not have that yet.
So you've got Fuse?
Yes.
Okay, that was the third one for me. So maybe we did it in a different order. And that would explain why you need to go to the snow, because that Gutenbach one is around the snow area. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, the fusing one is which one? Because that's the one I did, and I've only done one.
What? Yeah, the fusing one's the close one, isn't it?
Well, Ultra Hand lets you fuse. Kind of. It's a bit confusing. Ultra Hand lets you pick up objects and attach them, it says. Yeah. Fusing lets you fuse objects together like weapons. You know, you can fuse. So it's slightly different. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, cool, this is fuse. How do I do weapon stuff? And then I didn't really think about it until eventually I found the actual fuse ability, which, that lets you attach things to your swords, your shields, your arrows, etc., which is really fun. So basically, Kirk, you have Ultra Hand and Fuse, correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
And I found Fuse on the way to the other one. I was like going to the other and then I turned around and there was a shrine that I hadn't seen. So I marked it. It was closer and I went to it.
Oh, that's handy. God, that took me forever to get to that one. but I got there and I'm having this problem again. Trev, you will remember this from our Coopercast Zelda series, how easily distracted I am when I'm on my way to a shrine and I see something and I'm like, what is that? And I have to go and
check.
So that's why I've spent 5.5 hours roaming around this Sky Island area and just like, what is happening over there? And I think I've done pretty well. I found 2, I think they're called secrets because when you find them, it says secret or something or discovery or something like that. Mm-hmm. I found 2 caves. Have you found either of the 2 caves? There might be more caves. I found 2 caves. But Kirk, did you find any caves?
Yes. I believe 2.
Found 10.
Well, I did get it done, remember. There's one they point out, like you have to go through it. And then there was another one that I think I just stumbled upon.
There was one they pointed out? I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was like those guys who are, what are they called? The constructs?
Mm.
The constructs say, well, there's a... here's this thing, but you're going to need to go through here and my friends will tell you what to do with it, or they'll have something for you to use with it, I think. And they kind of pointed out the cave.
Interesting. All right. I don't know if I did that. I just found 2. It was a pond side cave and a mining cave. They're the 2 that I found.
All right.
Yeah. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe
it's just a little, yeah, it's got some, I guess, rocks you can smash to get some extra elements and items and things. It's just a fun little detour. Yeah. But I do love that there are little pockets of exploration, even in this Sky Island world. It's like there's, and you know what I really, what really caught me, not by surprise exactly, but just opened my eyes to, I suppose, is the, you know, the level of, I suppose this is where Ascend comes in handy, because some islands are a lot higher than others and others are lower, and it's really hard to navigate. Well, for me, it's really hard to navigate because I can see where I want to go, but I'm like, it's over, it's up or it's down, or how do I get over there? So even in this little, well, seemingly small intro scene, there's a lot to it dimensionally. It's very three-dimensional. There's a lot of scale, there's a lot of up and down. And so, yeah, when you get to Ascend, it's really, really handy and very easy to use, actually. I like that ability.
I feel like I haven't gotten that yet, but I feel like that's going to be a sort of like the wall merging ability in A Link Between Worlds. Because when I first played that, I had a hard time wrapping my head around it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm stuck. What do I do? And I had to train my brain to like use it. And then, of course, once I mastered it, it's like, oh, this is awesome. And I feel like the Ascend ability might be like that in, you know, this 3D space where I'm like, oh, how do I do it? And then eventually it'll click and I'll be like zipping around. So
yeah it will definitely. Suddenly you're thinking about the ceiling above you and like, oh, can I go up there? Is there an easy way to get up there? And then when you can't see a ceiling above you, like, where is the ceiling? Where is there somewhere I can ascend to? So start.
I've already seen like treasure chests and I'm like, how do I get that? I'm like trying to jump and I'm falling short. And then I'm like, maybe I can sneak up on this bird and fly it. And the bird attacks me and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So you've been to question for you, Kirk, you've been to the mining cave.
Yep.
Afterwards, did you see that towered structure? It's what is his name? Flux Construct? Did you see this guy? Because
I don't think so. That might be right at the point where I stopped. Let's see, with the mining, because I took the mining and that took me up closer to the snowy area, and I stopped right there. So if I missed something along the way. Possibly. I'm just about to get it.
Yeah. I mean, I had to use Ascend to get this thing because I was mining. And this is, again, me being distracted. I did the mining cave like three times because I kept finding things and having to go back and loop around. And then there's this island. As you leave the mining cave, it's really fun, actually. You can use the Ultra Hand to lift up a mine cart and put it on the tracks. And then you put a fan onto the back of it and it blows and it pushes the mine cart along. It's really cool.
Yep.
So as you're exiting the cave, after you've done the cave, the second time I did it, I'm like, well, there's an island above me. I wonder if I can ascend to it. And I did. And there's this like mini boss up there, I think. I don't know if you call it a mini boss, but it's like it's called a flux construct. And it's made of like, I don't know, 16 boxes that rearrange themselves into different shapes and attack you. That was really fun to beat. So yeah, look out for that.
That sounds hard. How'd you beat it?
It actually was hard. Since I only have 3 hearts and he hits you and takes off 2.5 every time he hits you. So he would hit me and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I've got to eat some food. So I ate my food. I used up all my food. I had a few things made, but then I had to just rely on mushrooms and apples, which don't give you a lot of health. And so I went through my supplies. And then I worked out his patterns. It's pretty fun, but yeah, it was tricky. Yeah.
You reminded me, Gemma, I forgot how to like roast food. Like the construct was telling me about roasting food and like my apple caught fire and it still wasn't roasted. And then I caught fire. The apple catch fire. I'm like, how do I do this? I forgot. Like
never a Boy Scout was Trevor, apparently.
No. My wife might have been a brownie. I don't remember.
That's so good. Yeah, the wild. So you prefer the wilderness in digital form to real life, I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I won't. spell. I'm only like I said, first one shrine in. So
yeah. So we all have Ultra Hand, right? Justin, did you make it through the first shrine or not quite?
Not quite.
Okay. So for those of us who do have Ultra Hand, what do we think of this ability? Have you fused a lot of, well, I say fused, there is a fusibility, which is different. Have you attached things together and how have you found that? And particularly, I suppose, Trev, because you're early on, how are you going with it? And then Kirk, because you're further along, are you finding it easier? Because I found it much easier after practice. So Trev, what is your initial impression of Ultra Hand?
It was pretty cool. Like in the first shrine, I was trying to, you know, you had to connect like those two slabs and I'm like, oh, this one's on a ramp. Maybe I can just run up it. And of course you can't do that. You slide down and
yeah.
I tried and failed a few times and then Jen's like, give me the controller. And she did it. And I'm like, oh, you want to play? She's like, no. She just got impatient. Struggling, but
she wanted to assert her dominance.
Yes. Hey, she was a girl guide, right? Or a brownie, whatever I say.
Yes. It feels like it's a mechanic that I can probably waste a lot of time with.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. And I liked, like, you grab, like, I grabbed a hook and slid down that rope. Like, I don't know if there was an alternative way.
That was fun. That was so fun.
But I'm like, oh, this is going to be it. And yeah, so far, you know, so far, so good. I mean, the ability setup, like, you know, with the, they don't call it the Sheikah Slate, but what do they call it in this one?
Does it start with P, I think? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's like, whatever it's called. The name escapes me at the moment, but it's good. You know, it's similar, like kind of in setup. So, yeah, early impressions are favorable.
Cool. And Kirk, with a bit more practice, are you finding it very useful or difficult? How are you going?
I'm finding it useful. I like that there are a couple places where it gives you multiple ways to get to something. Like there's one time there was a path that was going one direction. And then I saw that if I attached a couple items, I'd be able to go this way. So I did. And it took me to the same place the path would have taken me. So it does give you multiple ways to get through something. I can imagine, though, that I am going to waste a lot of time trying to figure out how to put things together in a certain way to get access to something when that's not the way they're meant to be used. And after about 5 minutes, I'm just going to give up and then end up going to do something else and say, well, I should have done that all along. So yeah, it's a mechanic that's going to be fun to play with. And I know it's going to frustrate me when I'm using it in places where I shouldn't be trying to get too clever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's interesting. It does remind me there's a part, I don't know where it is in the Sky Islands area, but there was an area where there were a few trees and a couple of axes lying around. And then there's like a cliff, and at the top of the cliff were three constructs who were shooting arrows at you. And I didn't know it was at the top. This is me getting distracted again. But I'm like, I think I want to get to the top. So I shot the dudes at the top with my arrow. I sniped them. Snipped them real good. And then I chopped down some trees and I started attaching logs end on end to make like a long, like three log long walkway, I suppose. And I'm like, oh, I can lean this on the cliff and just walk up it. But it wouldn't balance. It kept rolling off to the side. It wasn't like balanced properly. So they give you one kind of flat piece of wood. And so I was like playing around with different configurations. I'm like, how can I use this to get up there? Because it's a slippery cliff. You can't climb it. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. You can't just, you know, press X and climb up. You have to do something else. So I did eventually work it out. I won't tell you what I did in case you want to work it out. But I just rearranged things and I'm like, I was pretty happy with myself. I'm like, hey, I did it. I kind of made something that looks really weird, but allows me to climb up and jump onto the cliff. And I think there was a treasure chest up there, Trev. So that's one of them. One of the ones you might find along the way. So that was fun. And you know the rail that you were talking about, Trev, where you had the hook and you slid down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I saw that rail before I had the ability, so before the first shrine. And I decided it looked interesting. Again, distracted. And so I tried walking along the rail to see if I could make it. I probably could have. Did you?
Me too.
I fell off and I gave up eventually. Did.
That's another thing where Jen almost took the controller from me. She's like, why don't you just walk around? I'm like, no, I think I could do it. And then I got halfway and then I think like the cloud cover came in.
Oh, yeah.
And I briefly lost it. slate and then I fell.
Yes. And my son had to go and then he just ran and fell straight off and it was hilarious. He's nodding. He's listening to us record. He's nodding. But it was fun. And yeah, then, and I, you know what? The first time I didn't even see that hook line there. Maybe it wasn't there, but once I had the ultra hand ability and I came back to that spot, I'm like, oh, there's a hook. Was that there before? So, you know, I touched it, obviously, and it worked. So there's lots of little moments like that. And I guess the Sky Islands, I think, for me, my impression of them is they've been set up really well to introduce these few abilities and really test your kind of, I don't know, knowledge of them and use of them and give you a really good feel of how to use them. Because I can only imagine what's going on down on Hyrule. Like I said, I have no idea the danger that awaits. And these abilities are probably going to come in really handy, I assume. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. There is a fourth ability, which I have because I've been to the Temple of Time.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you what it is? I mean, yes. Yeah, it's the recall ability. So we saw that in the trailer, you know, the rewinding time thing.
Yeah, well, they're making the rocks go back up to the sky and stuff.
Yeah. So I literally just unlocked that. I wanted to get to the Temple of Time. I wanted to get the 5-hour mark, but I wanted to get to the Temple of Time. And so I really wanted to get to the Temple of Time and see what happened there. And I got there and I got the recall ability. I won't tell you what happens after that, but it's not what you think. Let's say that.
Is so, it yeah. like when Thanos killed Vision twice with the time
stone? Yeah. Well, no, kind of, no. I haven't discovered anything further yet to the story. Let's just say that. I'm still looking. So, but I did test the recall ability. You have to use it in the Temple of Time a little bit it's a very mini shrine. It's not big at all. And yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really easy. You just point it and it turns things backwards and there's a little countdown clock that shows you how long it's going to go backwards for. So I'm interested to see how that works. There's a lot going on. And I just can't wait to get to Hyrule. I really want to get down there and see what's happening. So I think, what else can we talk about? So this, what are your impressions of the Sky Islands? Because I've sort of talked a bit about what I thought in terms of how sparse they are and how much is going on there. Does anyone have anything to add to that, to what we think of the layout so far, whether it's graphically? I mean, I want to talk about music, but I don't think there is a lot of music so far to really talk about. But I know, Trev, you love music in games. And I know you didn't even listen to the trailer at one point because you didn't want a spoiler.
That's true. I really was hoping that, like, not that Breath of the Wild had bad music by any means, but I'm used to those kind of sweeping orchestra. Like, there's always music going on, and with Breath of the Wild, and maybe with this game, it's a more subdued approach. I don't know. I'm hoping that that isn't the case, but my initial gut feeling is that it will be. I will say, when I was falling and the title popped up, I was really expecting a Loftwing to come in. I'm like, I told Jen, I'm like, can I whistle? Like, can I get saved here? But I ended up just falling in the water. So, but I'd be interested if, like, the sky navigation, is it going to be all focused on that, ascending ability, or are we going to have some kind of companion character? I don't know.
Not sure. I don't know. That's a good question. I think, speaking of whistling, you can whistle, because I did accidentally whistle and nothing happened.
Yeah. I think it was like the horse whistle, right?
Yeah. The horse whistle and nothing happened. No horses came. Another question randomly for you all is, how long did it take you to try jumping off a Sky Island just to see what would happen? Because I did it pretty quickly. I'm like, I wonder if I can just jump off.
Yeah, I have not actually tried. Like, the only thing times I've jumped were those spots designated for, how did it go?
Not well. I reappeared back on the Sky Island with less life. So, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't do it on purpose. There was one kind of puzzle I found where down below where I was, there was like the separated island with a treasure chest on it and a construct, an enemy construct. And then there were those platforms, you know, those floating ones. I don't know if Justin and Trevor found those yet, but there are these floating platforms that you can move with your ability. And when you let go of them, they don't fall to the ground. They continue to float. So you can like build steps with them. And I was doing that and I built some steps to get down to this thing. But the lowest step that I built was so high after I jumped, mm-hmm. I couldn't grab it again. So I couldn't get back up because I couldn't move it to a point where I could hop on it to start building the steps back up. So I was running around this island forever looking for a way to get around this and I couldn't find it. And then thought, I think I tried to jump at one point and just failed and fell and came back up with fewer hearts. And then I finally, I climbed like there's a, in case anyone else runs into this problem, there's a like a tree over to the left of the area where the steps are, and you can climb up and sort of stand on that. And I believe that gets you close enough to one of them, hopefully with your placement, that you could pull it close and do that. But in the process of that, I jumped, missed, and then was out of hearts and died completely. Yeah. And it asked me if I wanted to quit or start over. Like, yeah, I'm done. Quit. Who's going to quit their first couple hours?
Exactly.
Wanted to enable Super Guide to give you like wings or something.
Yeah, the infinite mushroom or
the Mario Kart guy should just kind of like pick me up on the fish hook and then drop me on the platform I was trying to reach.
Lakitu. Where's Lakitu when you need him? Yeah. That would be handy. I've had that same screen. More often than I'd like to admit, actually, in the Sky Islands, I've died.
And then it puts
times.
The little red X on the island to indicate where you died. Does. So every time you're on the island, you got to look at your map and see all your failures.
Yeah, it's like RIP.
Mark of shame. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So because you haven't been to the Gutenbach, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Gutenbach, whatever it is, the shrine with the Ascendability Kirk, have you discovered the Zonai devices? Like the fans and things that you can make, that you can make yourself. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
With the little ball machines. Have you used those?
And I couldn't figure out like the wind things that are,
that's
that are
what
pushing
I was gonna
along.
Ask.
Yeah, putting them on backwards because I couldn't tell which way would actually blow. I've used those a few times now.
Okay. But you probably haven't used the wing, right? There's a wing one.
No. I've made boats and I put them on mine carts so I could go up hills on mine carts. But that's it.
I was hoping for some help with that, but that's okay. When you get up to the snowy area, to that last shrine that you're after, there's another device that you'll find. Some of them are just scattered around, like the fans are sometimes scattered around. And they look like they look like birds, like flat birds. They're like platforms that you can ride and you can glide. They're really cool, but I only could use it once to get off the place I was on. And then you can build them yourself, you know, with these little, what are those machines called? I want to call them Pokeballs, but they're not. They're just, there's a word for it. It's like one of those gumball dispensaries where it like shoots out little circles that you open up and get a little prize.
Gotcha machine.
That's it. And the prizes are Zonai devices, so that you can get fans, you can get these wings. There's a couple others that you can get, the portable cooking sets, which are really handy, Trev, for cooking, because you shouldn't burn yourself.
So it's like burning my apples.
No, it's like an electric. It's an electric device.
You'll be burning them in style now.
Yeah.
Well, in Breath of the Wild, Jen did most of the cooking. I like my women in the kitchen.
Trev, you did not say that.
And barefoot, because I think Link was just out of his the resurrection chamber. I don't think I had an outfit.
Made a note here to make sure my wife and daughter don't listen to this podcast.
I'll have to put a warning in the description.
Hi, Sophie. Hi, Tierney.
Yes. Anyway, so yeah, you can get these little portable cooking things, which are handy. They're just one use only, so it's like a portable pan, and you put your stuff in it and cook it, and then disappears. But these wings, they confound me a little bit. So I'm interested just to hear how you all go with those. I can't make them move except in this one spot where it tells you how to move them. It's a bit like a minecart. There's a little groove, and you put the wing in the groove, and then it kind of just slides down, and then it falls off the cliff, and you glide on top of it. And it's really fun, and you can steer it. The first time I did fall off. The second time I did steer it the wrong way and fall off. Third time I got to where I was going. Anyway, I just don't know how you use them when you're not on the little groove, this little minecart groove thingy. I don't know how to make it work because fans don't seem to make it work. So I got stuck on a cliff in one or an island in some other place. And like, I can't get down. Maybe I can fly down on this wing that I can make. So I made a wing, but then I couldn't do anything with it. I couldn't get it to move. So maybe I need to search that up. But anyway. Well,
maybe it does need the groove, like how the minecart needs the track.
Maybe, but then what's the point of it? Are they grooves? Maybe there are grooves everywhere elsewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. The cold thing is interesting because, and the cooking, because they kind of go hand in hand a little bit. Like I had to cook a recipe with some spicy peppers so that I wouldn't get too cold.
Yeah.
Which Kirk's probably done, and Trev, you'll have to do that if you cannot burn yourself on the spicy peppers. look forward to that. Yeah. So, I mean, I love how we're only touching this very surface of this game, and I don't know, I've tried not to read too many reviews, even though they're pretty much spoiler free, but I don't know how long they're saying this game takes. Has anyone heard timeframes at this point?
I haven't looked.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the timeframes. I did see something crazy that I guess one of the first speed runs has been clocked at 94 minutes.
What?
Was it cut?
I thought that was impossible. I was joking. How on the day of release? Well, they probably had an early copy, but 94 minutes.
That seems impossible.
Yeah,
it took me 3 hours to get to the third shrine. Like, seriously. You'd have to know what you're doing, wouldn't you? You'd have to be like,
So that's definitely not going to be the average, right? That's
Is it Miyamoto who did the speed run?
He's going to take his time.
Yeah, he's going to enjoy every second of it. But it looks like the reviews have been pretty positive. I'm seeing like a 90. Is it what's Metacritic looking like so far? Is it in the 90s, 96? Which is very good. I'm looking forward to your review, Justin.
No pressure.
I'm not going to ask for your initial impressions after, 45 minutes. I mean, I'm assuming this is sort of similar to Breath of the Wild in terms of time. And that was, 100, 150, whatever hours. And I guess in terms of speed runs, you can miss paths. Like I don't have to get these little side quests of treasure chests or mini bosses or whatever I see along the way. I could just focus on getting to the shrine and getting the thing done. But it's so much fun. And I think that's part of it, right? It's something that you're going to play for a long time because you want to play it. And you're in this world, you're discovering new things. Like when you get to start attaching things to arrows, and that's really fun. That's a really cool mechanic and really easy to implement as well. I was surprised. I'm like, from the trailer, I'm like, I mean, I know we saw in the trailer or one of the gameplay trailers, and I just, with arrows just seem tricky to me. But, I was going to say Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom make arrow shooting very simple, and attaching things is just another extension to that. You just sort of press up, I think, on the D-pad, and then you can choose your thing. Yeah, it's really cool.
I was surprised to see arrows so early because
me too. Actually,
I had just got into the island, and one of the the seeker constructs—I can't remember what you call them—but they were like shooting at me. I'm like, what? Like, and arrows are whizzing by my head. I'm picking them up, and I'm like, well, I'll use them eventually. But
they, you will. In fact, have you found any Korok seeds yet, Jim?
I have. Yes, 3. Okay. So far.
Okay. I've got 2, but the first one I found required arrows.
Ooh, I don't think I have that one because I don't think I use arrows. I used, I think I used a minecart to get to 1.
Yeah, I got that one.
You got that one? Yeah. And then 1 was hiding under a rock somewhere. So yeah, look out for that. And I know Kirk, I think you mentioned, sorry, not Kirk, Trev, you mentioned Korok seeds in another podcast. I think. I don't know whether it was positive or negative. You're like, do I need to find more Korok
seeds? I'm like, I wonder, if the world's bigger, they got to have more seeds, right? So, Island has 900 Korok seeds.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? They're always a little bit of a, I don't actively look for them, but if I see them, I'm happy. So,
I bet you find a lot of them just because you're distracted.
Yeah, true, because I do think, what is that? can I get in there? Why can't I get in there? Yeah, I do have that mentality a little bit, which I like. It's fun. Yeah. And that's, like I said, yeah. Sorry, Kirk, did you have something?
Say, yeah, those are one of the things that carry over into real life for me, because now when I walk around and I see a bunch of random rocks just happen to be in a perfect circle, I'm like, wait a minute. What happens if I jump into the middle of this? Nothing ever happens, but I'm going to keep trying.
Yes. Eventually something will happen if you try. Yeah. So I'm loving this experience so far. I think, do we have, I guess, some final thoughts before we wrap things up on our experience to date? Are we going to, after the show, we're going to just jump straight back onto playing Zelda. What are our goals for the near future? I mean, I had the goal of getting to Temple of Time, which I've done. Now I just need to get back down to Hyrule, which is my next step. After that, I have no idea. Obviously, I still need to find Zelda and see what she's doing. Justin, what are you thinking?
Yeah, obviously, you know, my next goal is just to play some more of it, since I basically just went through some cutscenes and very brief tutorial. So I haven't really gotten to the shrine or anything yet. But next goal is just to get some good time on it. And I know I got a busy weekend and a busy week ahead.
Mm.
So my time will be finite with it, but I'm hoping
as I can. Were you? Oh no, because you're Friday night. I'm interested, Trev, tomorrow to see whether you dream about it tonight, because I dreamt about it last night. So I know we've had this conversation before.
I think I'm going to be dreaming about Kirk jumping into random piles of rocks and the boys like walking him to the nursing home. Come on, Dad, jump in your rocks.
Yeah. You know,
if that's how I go out, that's a good way to do it.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I would be happy with that. So Kirk, what's next for you? Cause you're further along. Obviously you got to get to this third shrine.
Yes. And that's tonight. I'd say by the end of the evening, I want to, like you, I want to get down to Hyrule, because like in the original Breath of the Wild, once you finally got that glider and you got off the peninsula, that's when the game really became the game. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's going to be the same here. They're teaching the mechanics up on the this island. We're hanging out up there, exploring, learning how to do stuff. And then, you know, I want to see the world open up to me. In fact, actually, that's one of the other thoughts I had on this. Having just finished Atelier Ryza 3 and the Xenoblade Chronicles 3 expansion pass, I'd forgotten how lonely the Zelda games are, because it's always just Link. Mm-hmm. In all these other games I play, these where you're running around exploring these vast open vistas, there are people and there are conversations, and there aren't really with Link. It's just him, aside from when someone's telling him, you know, either giving him a quest or telling him how to use a new feature. So like the loneliness of it was kind of a shock to me again.
That is a good point. Yeah. Even your guide is a spirit kind of thing, and he comes and goes. Yeah. Mm. Very good point. Just very, very quick side note. How was the Xenoblade DLC? You finished it? Was it good?
Yes. I did finish it. I absolutely loved it, and my review will be up very soon. So
it's an
integral piece of the Xenoblade Chronicles series. If you're a fan of the series at all, you've got to play that.
That is awesome. Have you played this, Justin? Because my Heroes and I played fan as well.
Yeah, I was able to finish it and wholeheartedly agree with Kirk's assessment. Like it, you know, I felt like, was it Torna Country was the Xenoblade 2 DLC? Mm-hmm. That was really good as well. But I feel like Future Redeemed, this one, like you said, I would put it almost alongside the other main core three games, right? Like it's that impactful and fun. So
that's impressive. I'm glad you guys got to sort it all out before Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
It would have been hard to go back and forth, I think.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. I'm definitely looking forward to reading that as well. Trev, any final thoughts on Tears of the Kingdom? What's your weekend plans?
Yeah, well, it's funny. As we're recording this, I have a friend texting me about the game.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you, you know, the hype for it. But I do have a meeting tomorrow, but tomorrow late afternoon and evening. That's going to be Jen and I. That'll be like our date night. We're just playing Zelda, because really, since we've been together, you know, the Zelda games are, we played them together, even though they're not two player. They can be cooperative, especially like I mentioned with the puzzles, you know, you have another set of eyes watching and you can hand off the controller. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm hoping after tomorrow night, I'll have probably caught up to where you and Kirk are now. And maybe be a little ahead of Justin or, although Katie's playing on her own, right? So I don't know where Katie will be. Maybe she'll be.
Yeah, she was ahead of me when I was checking just a little bit before this. So
she's been playing while we've been talking.
Yeah, at least had Ultra Hand, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I hope she's enjoying it. I think there's a lot to look forward to, and we can talk more about it. Maybe we can even have a light-hearted competition. See who gets there first.
We could do one of those, you know, that Simpsons episode where Homer is trying to keep up with Edison, right? Like there's that little chart on the wall, and he's got he's just like seeing how many things he can invent. We do something similar there.
I love that episode. That is so cool. Yeah, we've seen a virtual board where we can move ourselves along.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. Very, very cool indeed. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining me today to talk all about the new Tears of the Kingdom game. I think it's super exciting. I can't wait to hear more about it. Any final thoughts, Justin, before we close off?
Oh, just I hope everyone enjoys. It's always an exciting weekend with the new Zelda game, and hope everyone has a great weekend and lots of fun with it.
Yeah, thank you. And if you are listening to the show, thank you so much for giving us a listen. If you're watching us on YouTube, give us a like and a subscribe. We would love to hear your thoughts, and we love talking about games. So thank you so much for being part of today's show. Thank you, Trev. Thank you, Kirk. And thank you, Justin. And until next week, game on, everybody.